we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, get back in here. It's time again for Kender Outdoors. I'm Billy Kender, and hey, we're so happy that you're here with us today. Thanks for spending a little time with us, whether that's on a broadcast or a podcast, however you hear the show. Thank you very much. Front Door to the Camp House is brought to you by Calming Care for your dog. Calming Care, from the trusted name Purina, settles the overactive dog. The overbarker, the overjumper. Calming Care, very gently over time, calms that dog. Folks that are using it love it. Calming Care. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com. What a blockbuster show we've got for you today. Some real heavyweights in the world of shooters' rights, hunters' rights, sportsmen's rights. Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation is going to join us on the show today, and we're going to talk about that Biden-Harris ticket that the Democrats, I guess they like to still be called Democrats anyway, have put out there for November. And just how dangerous that duo is to your Second Amendment. It could be fatal if they take office. The National Shooting Sports Foundation also does a really good job every year and every election, keeping us up to date with all of the info that we need to know at Gun Vote. Don't risk your rights. Gun Vote. KinderOutdoors.com. We've got a link to Gun Vote. Mark's going to be talking about it later in the show. And Luke Hilgerman. He's going to join us from his native Wisconsin, and he's talking about Hunt the Vote, what Mark and Luke have to say about our shooting rights, the upcoming election, our hunting rights, our heritage is shocking. And I would advise you to clear out your next little bit of time here, put on a fresh pot of coffee, and stay with us. All of us, as outdoorsmen and women, Second Amendment lovers, patriots, we need to hear this. Deer season not far away, just right around the corner. Bow hunters, you'll be cranking it up pretty quick. And Dave Richards has a revised edition of his book, Observing and Evaluating Whitetails. It's an incredible book. You might want to get your hands on a copy. And he is just top-notch at aging whitetail deer. He's going to help us become more proficient at that, talking whitetails in just a little bit. So, hey, pull that chair up a little closer. Join our circle of friends in this old camp house at DSC's Kender Outdoors. Hey, do you remember a few weeks ago when Justin Lucas was on the show, Major League Fishing's Justin Lucas? I was talking to him about his big Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour win. He won the final event on the Bass Pro Tour for 2020. And we talked about how something like that can kick off a streak.
It doesn't matter the sport. We see it a lot in pro football or college football when a team is just getting beat and they look lifeless. And then they start coming back and they gain the momentum and they get the momentum and win the game. There's a lot to be said for that confidence that you just spoke of and that momentum. You can ride that now.
Oh, yeah. You know, unfortunately, that's our last Bass Pro Tour event of the year. But I do have two FLW super events left, and yeah, absolutely. I want to ride that and continue the ride here for the next couple events because I think it's $125,000 for first place for these next couple events. And, you know, they're going to be televised and just as important as this one.
Now, fast forward to last weekend when that winning streak continued. Justin Lucas won that Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit on Lake Erie. He was wrong about the prize money. It was bigger than he thought. $160,000. That includes a $35,000 FLW Phoenix bonus contingency award. And it pushes his career earnings to $1.68 million catching big green bass. Wow. The ladies are going to have a blast, literally, today in Nebraska when the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission hosts a steel plate challenge, speed shooting competition for women, Weeping Water Gun Club on Scenic Drive, Weeping Water, Nebraska. Prior experience with rifles and handguns is required at this event, and it only costs $10 to participate. All equipment is provided, and get this, sanitized between competitors. Boy, oh boy, the Bassmaster Elites are in a beautiful spot this weekend, tucked in there between Lake Huron and Lake Erie. They're on Lake St. Clair, a smallmouth powerhouse. This lake is shared by the United States and Canada, and it has a history of impressive tournament showings, including last year's Bassmaster Angler of the Year Championship. Minnesota pro Seth Fider won with a three-day total, 15 fish, that weighed 77 pounds, 15 ounces. Hey, that's a 5-pound average on smallmouth bass. Daily takeoffs, 6:30 Eastern Time, Lake St. Clair Metro Parks in Harrison Township. Weigh-ins, back at the park every afternoon at 3:10. St. Clair is 26 miles long, 24 miles wide, 430 square miles. And get this, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers maintains a shipping channel that reaches about 27 feet deep, but the lake averages only about 11 feet. And due to Canada's COVID-19 restrictions, anglers are limited to the U.S. waters of Lake St. Clair and all connecting rivers, creeks, canals, including Lake Huron. Calming Care settles the overactive dog. Calming Care. I'll save you $5 on your first order at kinderoutdoors.com. Let's grab a fresh cup of coffee, and then we're going to age some white-tailed deer.
Hey, everybody, this is Casey Ashley. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Kinder, how'd you get in my boat?
At DSC, the mission has been so solid and successful in the areas of hunter advocacy, education, and conservation that our membership has grown to include people from around the globe, like-minded conservationists that know the importance of teaching young people how to fish, hunt, camp, and conserve. If you share the desire to pass along these great rights to your children and their children as well, consider a DSC membership. Dallas Safari Club is truly an international organization with our roots in annual convention and expo in Dallas, Texas. But there are DSC chapters all across America. We believe that the North American model of science-based conservation put in place by men like Teddy Roosevelt and duplicated in countries worldwide works. We carefully vet and support groups that purely work towards science-based conservation. We spend a great deal of time and money on our future generations sharing our rich hunting history and heritage. DSC also stands toe-to-toe every day against the forces that would abolish your gun rights and your right to hunt and fish. Stand with us. Visit biggame.org.
The events this spring have made it abundantly clear to many Americans that they should possess the skills it takes to produce food for our families. How to catch a fish, how to harvest wild game. But where do you start?
First thing I want to do with the customer is talking about what their needs are. Are we shooting recreationally? Are we going to hunt with this? Are we looking for a tournament bow?
Cinnamon Creek Archery, Roanoke, Texas, has always featured the finest facilities. And even more importantly, the finest teachers and people. Hands-on, knowledgeable, and hardworking.
Ask some questions, too. Don't be afraid to say, well, why am I doing this, and why do you want me to anchor here? We pride ourselves here and make sure we're teaching them not only about the bow, but how to shoot that bow, how to be proficient with that, and so you can understand and replicate those better in the field.
There's never been a better time or opportunity to learn the skills needed to harvest wild game for the table, along with your entire family.
Make it fun and keep it a very positive experience. Every shot that I shoot is a great shot.
Your journey starts at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged into battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Screen that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Three buses loaded with kids and parents roll down the highway just like thousands before them have done, all at the invite of the DSC to learn the legacy of the outdoors. Be a part of this at biggame.org.
Deer season's opening up shortly. Can you believe it already? This crazy year, and we're going to get to go hunt deer pretty soon, and that's good. That's a welcome relief, and you're really going to enjoy. If you like looking at white-tail deer, hunting white-tail deer, you like to manage your property and only shoot the right deer, my next guest on the show, Dave Richards, is going to talk to us about how to do that, amongst other things. I want to welcome him to the show now. He wrote a book some years back, I believe it was 2003, and that book has been updated. It's called Observing and Evaluating Whitetails. If you have the original copy, you do need this update because it's got a lot of new photos in it, a lot of new information, and some really special photographs of individual deer as they progress year by year. You can see what they look like as they age. Hey, let's get him on here. He's on that Kinder Outdoors trot line right now. Dave Richards, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's an honor, and I appreciate you having me on. I'm very much obliged.
You betcha. We're going to be talking about an updated version of a book that you actually published back in, I believe it was 2003, Observing and Evaluating Whitetails. Now, that title tells me that you didn't go out and start taking pictures and learning how to evaluate whitetails just to do this book. This is probably something you've done all of your life, isn't it, Dave? What's your background?
Well, you know, my photography started as a kid. Come from a family of five boys, and we hunted and fished our whole lives, and I started taking a camera along to photograph the hunts and what we were, or the fishing trips, and then started, you know, of course, looking at copies of Field and Stream laying on the table and Sports of Field and Outdoor Life. I started wanting to take pictures of the wildlife. And so I got into that, early college years. And yeah, I've been photographing whitetails, since the early 80s, I would say, and it was a form of hunting for me. I realized a long time ago I could photograph a lot more of them than I could hunt. I still hunt, but it just became a passion, of course, the more I photographed and were getting on bigger and bigger deer, it just became something I loved to do, and deer were kind of my specialty, so I loved it. But I enjoy all of it, whether it's turkeys or bears or whatever type of critters that we're photographing, but whitetails are kind of my specialty.
Yeah, and the longer you took those photographs and the more you were hanging out with whitetail deer, the more your hunger to learn about these critters grew. And so you started kind of putting the puzzle together on these different deer. And it's interesting what you learned year after year photographing some of the same deer, isn't it?
Well, it is. What happened is that I got a call. I had pictures were being published, and I was getting some covers and now and then and all that kind of stuff. And the Roy Hines family called me down out of South Texas, and little Roy said, "Hey, we want you to come down and start photographing our deer," which at the time, if you started looking at it, they had deer in the top of the contest every year. So I went down and met with him and his dad and rode around. And what I realized real fast, they had some great deer for one thing, but they also, every deer that we talked about, they were talking about an individual age on that deer. And truthfully, at the time, everybody was looking, when you talked about aging deer, you were saying immature, you know, or a mature or a post-mature deer. And that was the kind of the lingo back then. And I'd go sit in a blind and Big Roy said, you know, how old was he and what'd he score? And so I started asking them a lot of questions, and because Big Roy Hines was the first person, that's why I dedicated the book to him. He was the first person to ever talk about aging deer on the hoof, because they could do it with cattle and horses. And he started realizing it because their deer were living long enough that you could see these different characteristics in their body take place over 1.5 to 7.5 years old. So they were the first people, and I just was blessed to get the photograph on them. And they, you know, it took several years to, you know, build up these agency sequences that I started getting. But because what happened was, is he said, what I want you to do is take pictures of every deer that you see, the smallest to the biggest, because they wanted to identify them as young as possible, because it's easier to identify a buck at 1.5 or 2.5 years old. And you can look at, you know, the color of their tail patterns, or you can look at a notch in their ear. You can look, there's a lot of different physical characteristics that we talk about in the book as well to identify deer, just like you identify your friends and your family by looking at them. And so in doing that, I said, well, that's going to be tough because I'm trying to photograph big mature deer. They hear that photo camera clicking. They're going to get nervous and I'm not going to get as many pictures. But I said, I'll tell you this, I'll do the best I can do. And he said, that's the deal. Here's the key to the camp, and come as often as you can. And that started many, many years ago. And after about 8-9 years, I'd be showing a photo editor a picture of a big buck, and he'd say, man, that's a great deer. And I'm like, you want to see him at 2, 3, and 4, 5, you know, and they'd say, yeah. And I'd show them the deer progression, and they're like, so you got to do a book. And it was interesting because within the same week, I had 3 good friends, Bill Reeves at Texas Parks and Wildlife, Wyman Menzer, who's everybody knows, Wyman's a Texas State photographer, and Little Roy Hines all say, you need to do a book, and you need to do it with Al Brothers. And I said, well, it's interesting because I'm actually going to go to a barbecue at Al's this weekend. And Al and I were friends. We'd never done any work together or anything, but I took him what I had built up at the time and showed him, these are the photo sequences. And Al said, how much have you written of it? And I said, I hadn't written any of it. He said, go home and write a chapter at a time and send it to me, and I'll add in the biological side to it, and we'll do this. And the rest is history. It turned out pretty well.
Boy, I'll say it did, yeah. Hang on just a few minutes for me, Dave, because we're going to start aging deer when we come back to you in a couple of minutes. But talking with you and you talking about the Hines Ranch down in South Texas reminds me of a great story that I caught on tape from Ray Sasser one time.
You know, I keep thinking about the Hines family down in Frio County. They got this beautiful ranch down there. It's 8,000 acres, and they've really done a fabulous job of deer management over the years. And these people are not wealthy. They're just making a living off the land, kind of a deal. And they're all named Roy. You know, the first one was Roy Hines Jr., and then his son was Roy Hines III. They call him Little Roy. And then the younger one is Roy Hines IV, when they call him Quattro. And he may, it's been a while since I've seen him, he may have his own son by now. And if he's got one, I'm pretty sure his name is Cinco.
Yeah.
But anyway, when Quattro was, his dad told me this story, when Quattro was 7 years old, he came home from school one day. He was sick. And his dad was real sick. His dad had flu or something. It was, I mean, it felt terrible. And so Quattro came home from school, and they thought, well, maybe he's got it too. But Quattro parked up that afternoon. He went in there where his dad was stretched out on the bed and said, Dad, let's go kill a deer. His dad said, Quattro, I can't do that. I'm wore out, man. I can't get up. And he, oh, come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. He said, no, just take my truck. He said, just take my truck and go kill a couple of does. So Quattro, who's 7 years old, takes his dad's truck, and Little Roy always drove a truck with a standard transmission. So how this 7-year old kid's even shifting gears, I don't know. But he's got his rifle in his dad's truck out on the ranch. And so his mother said, you know, about dark, he comes in and he's crying. And she notices he's crying. And she thinks he's maybe gotten sick again. And she said, well, Quattro, what's the matter? Do you feel bad? And he said, no. He said, I killed two old does and I can't get them loaded. So his mother, Pam, went out on the ranch with him and helped him load his does.
No kidding.
Isn't that crazy?
Man, what a way to grow up, though.
It's crazy. It's great.
I hope you're enjoying this corner of the camp house at Kinder Outdoors, brought to you by my friends at Fortiflora, America's number one canine probiotic. Fortiflora settles GI upset, and it's worked 100% of the time that I've used it with my dogs. Learn more at KinderOutdoors.com.
This is Olympic gold medalist Kim Rohde. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Okay, Billy, come on now. You can use another lesson.
Coming soon to DSC's Kinder Outdoors, along with our partners at Dillon Hunting Blinds and Cinnamon Creek Ranch, we're going to put you in your brand new 6x6 octagon bow and rifle blind, sitting on a 5-foot tower with porch and staircase. Then it's off to Cinnamon Creek Archery for a $2,000 shopping spree to deck your blind with bows and arrows. We'll award a winner just in time for Christmas. Details coming soon on Kinder Outdoors.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Shockey, and for years I've hunted in some of the toughest conditions on Earth. That's why I count on Hornady Outfitter Ammunition. From the back country to the back 40, you can trust Outfitter Ammunition. Featuring corrosion-resistant nickel-plated cases that are sealed watertight and topped with the accurate and rugged GMX bullet, Outfitter Ammunition is designed to perform under the toughest conditions. Outfitter Ammunition from Hornady.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
I'm going to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care custody control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
The old camp house floor creaks a little, but don't worry. You're on solid ground with the Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
Annually, the Dallas Safari Club DSC gets together out in West Texas, has a great time hunting doves for a couple of days. They're doing it again back at the Haley Ranch out by Abilene. It's coming up September 4 and 5, and you do not have to be a Dallas Safari Club member to go enjoy this thing. The official kickoff of the hunting seasons, there'll be hunts on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, the meals, live entertainment Friday evening, dove cleaning, non-alcoholic beverages, all of that included in the price. Space is limited, so if you think this is something you'd like to do, KinderOutdoors.com, click on that DSC dove hunt link. And you should see plenty of birds this year. 2020 surveys of dove populations canceled due to ongoing public health concerns, but the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department estimates promising hunting conditions ahead of the start of the season. Texas has a breeding population of about 25 million mourning doves, 15 million white-winged doves, and conditions are ripe for a great season. Above-average rainfall throughout the spring led to prime habitat conditions during the peak nesting months of May and June. Dove season, it's always a lot of fun. KinderOutdoors.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Luke Hilgeman up in Wisconsin, talking about Hunt the Vote and how we hunters and conservationists, fishermen, outdoorsmen, shooters, hey, we need to get registered and get to the polls. We got some numbers that are going to rattle you. They did me anyway, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, back to our special guest, Dave Richards. He's going to help us age some whitetail deer. He wrote a book back in 2003 called Observing and Evaluating Whitetails. He's updated that now. There's a new version out there. QDMA, among others, have this book, and you can buy it from them. But one thing, Dave, you talk about in the book that really intrigued me was aging a white-tailed deer by his behavior, not by his physical looks, but by behavior. Help us out a little so that maybe we can know better what we're looking at this fall.
Sure. In the primary stuff that we talk about are body characteristics, the neck to the brisket, the head triangulation and the sag in the stomach and back. Those are the keys. And we're trying to get people to look at them during the hunting season, pre and during the rut and post rut to look at those. But sometimes you start looking at a 3.5-year-old, 4.5-year-old. It's hard to put him in a particular age category. So we watch how they interact with the other deer that they're around when they come out to a food plot or when we see them on a Sendero or whatever with other deer. And by watching how they react, deer are talking all the time with their ears, with their tail, with their hair. If you've ever been sitting there and watched a buck standing there and he's all by himself and all of a sudden he looks up and he's staring in the distance and he could be looking at a ranch truck going by or he could be looking at anything. But if his hair erects and if his ears go back, he's looking at another deer that he feels is in the same social status as he is. And so by watching how they react, if they approach each other and the other deer lays his ears back and his hair is erected and they go all the way into a clash, those deer are probably very, very close and similar in age. If they, if the other buck even acts like he's coming in like he thinks he's going to fight, but then lowers his head and puts his ears forward, they go right back to eating and there's no problem. Well, that, that deer is subordinate to the other one, and you're going to imagine that he's either a younger deer or he's post-prime, and you can look at his body and tell if he's post-prime and he's an old, old buck. So those are some of the things that we look at when we talk about it. It's just one more piece of the puzzle to help you say, okay, I couldn't tell if he was a 3 or 4 year old, but I know that other buck's a 4 year old. I've been watching him for 3 years, and he walked up and he was submissive to that deer, so I know he's a younger deer. Or they came in class, they're probably the same age.
There you go. You can learn a lot when you hang out and live with these deer like Dave has all of these years, and he's taken photographs along the way. As a matter of fact, if you get your hands on a copy of Observing and Evaluating Whitetails by Dave Richards, you're going to see a lot of deer. There's nearly 500 photos in this new edition. If somebody bought a copy in 2003 and the new copy, the new version is out now, Dave, what are the upgrades? What are they going to get?
Yeah, I realized I was going to do a reprint last fall, and we ran out of the original books. We've reprinted it multiple times, but I had some more aging sequences and some more really impressive judging sequences. So what we did is I added, on the buck aging sequences, I added 4 different really unique bucks. One of those bucks was a big, giant 10-point from the He started out as a beautiful 10 growing up at 2.5 and 3.5. Well, he had a bad injury in his neck and his jaw at 4.5. At 5.5, he grew a real crazy 4x6 rack instead of the beautiful 10 points. And then the following year, he completely recovered and grew 193 inches of bone that was a perfect 10 point, just a beautiful buck. And there's another buck in there that when we first started seeing him, he was a 5-year-old, and he was almost white. He was a very cream-colored, which was very unique. We'd never seen anything like that. You could see him coming for 200 yards, and like, where did this deer come from? What deer is this? Nobody recognized him. Well, we followed him for 4 more years, and he changed back to his regular color after that first year. So it had to be something to do with nutrition or a viral thing that caused some problems in nutrition, that he wasn't getting the right nutrients or whatever. But there's interesting things like that. And then in the judging section, where we talk about examples of live bucks with known Boone and Crockett scores, it has 35 now. There was 27 originally, and I added more to get it up to 35. But some of those bucks are, again, there's a couple of 190-inch white tails in there. And then there's also the Barrett buck that was a Texas State record buck that was 307 and 1/8 that I got invited to come down and try and photograph in 2010. And so, again, when you start looking at some of the unique bucks that I had, and I had a really cool fight that's in there, that the 2-page spread where all the years that I photograph fights, you're always on the wrong side. You know, once or twice in my career have I been in the right light, in the right position. They're usually in the brush. These two guys walk straight into each other, and I had the perfect angle. I've written about it where they're just looking at each other. They roll their eyes forward, and their eye-to-eye contact, literally till their noses touch. And I was in the right position to get that photography, so we did a 2-page spread in there. And there's more, but, yeah, all the images in there have been taken over many, many years. All the aging sequences, though, are off the hinds. I've been fortunate to get to photograph some dandies. But we cover everything from 120-inch deer all the way up. Most of them went up into the low 200s. And then we had the 1307 that was the Texas State record buck.
And I want folks to know we're talking about wild white-tailed deer here.
Yes, yes. These are all native wild Texas, South Texas deer.
Yep, there you go. Hey, deer season's coming. Here's what you're going to do at night at the deer camp. You're going to sit there and show Dave's great stunning photography off to each other in camp. It's called Observing and Evaluating Whitetails, and it's available through the QDMA, right?
Yes. There's multiple people that have it out there, Quality Deer Management Association, Texas Wildlife Association. You can even go on richardsoutdoorphotography.com. And a lot of retailers have it, especially in the state of Texas. But you can reach out to any one of those organizations, and they can fix you up. QDMA.com, I know you can go right on their website and get it, or TWA's or Richard's Outdoor Photography.
Very good. Dave, it is a pleasure to talk to you, and we're not going to make it so long next time. We'll get you back on here again.
Great. I very much enjoyed it, and look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, me too, Dave. I really did enjoy that. Let's get up, stretch our legs for a minute or two, grab a fresh cup of coffee, and then take a little trip to Wisconsin to hunt the vote with Luke Hilgeman. You're going to love what this guy's got going on.
Hey, everybody, it's Edwin Evers, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Billy, I told you to tie on a jig. What's going on?
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com.
Everest, the first online multi-merchant marketplace for the hunting, fishing, and outdoor worlds. We're a community driven by our passion for the outdoors. Shop a broad range of retailers offering hundreds of thousands of products. Hunt, shoot, fish, hike, camp. At Everest, you can interact, participate, contribute, learn, transact, and give back. What's your Everest? Gear up today at Everest.com.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word. csbiblechurch.org.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org. And I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org. There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds. Conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out, with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
You know those great sounds you hear from a pre-sunrise deer stand? And the smell of spring in the turkey woods? We do too. This camp house is home to the Dallas Safari Club and Kinder Outdoors.
Over the past several years, many thousands of kids have started hunting, fishing, and loving the outdoors because of DSC. A great many poachers have been put out of business, and our elected officials know that we as outdoorsmen and women mean business. Come be a part of something important. DSC is at biggame.org.
Let's jump back on that Kinder Outdoors trot line now and head to the great state of Wisconsin, where Luke Hilgeman is standing by waiting on us. He's going to talk to us about something extremely cool for outdoorsmen called Hunt the Vote. Luke, welcome. Glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Luke Hilgeman, you're in Wisconsin, right? You're up in Wisconsin, yes, where the weather's probably a lot more pleasant than it is here in Texas in August.
Yeah, it's I think it's a balmy 74 here today, and the humidity's down, so we will definitely take it.
Good for you. I think we were 174 all last week, so we're going to live virtually in this virtual day and age. We're going to live virtually in Wisconsin for a while. I'm so glad you could join me. Former Chief of Staff, Wisconsin State Assembly, CEO at Hunter Nation, and a graduate of the University of Wisconsin. I'm an old TCU boy, so you probably know where I'm going with this next deal right here, Luke.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
That 2011 Rose Bowl, I still watch it every now and then. Do you do that, too? Do you go back and watch TCU in Wisconsin and the Rose Bowl?
No, I watched the two that I actually played in, and when we were successful, the last two Badger Rose Bowls that we were actually winners of. Yeah, I prefer watching those games.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. For folks that aren't familiar, tell us about Hunter Nation. What is Hunter Nation?
So we are one of the newest grassroots groups in the country out there fighting to protect God, family, country, and our hunting traditions and way of life for the future. We started off about 18 months ago with our co-founders. Donald Trump Jr. is one of the original folks that helped us get this effort off the ground. And really just focused on being a united voice to get hunting and our traditions out there and protected. We've got 30,000 members across the country, and really just focused on activating hunters to go out and vote their values in every election.
30,000 members, that's really impressive, because you guys have not been around years. You've been around literally for months.
Yes, yes, 18 months. We signed up our first members, and so we're rocking and rolling and hoping to make that at least 500,000 folks here over the next several years, and just really focused on, again, getting out there and protecting these traditions for the next generation.
You bet. I was shocked. I was literally shocked, because I thought that we were a pretty solid group. We outdoors men and women, we hunters and fishermen. But I got a note from you a couple of weeks ago that says, hey, less than 50% of America's 15 million licensed hunters are registered to vote. Luke, can that be true?
Yeah, well, it was shocking to me when I saw the statistics as well, but unfortunately that's what we found. We went back and looked at all of the licensed hunters who are of voting age in the country and bumped them up against a voter roll, and basically said how many of these folks are actually going out and picking our leaders who determine the policies that impact our lifestyle. And unfortunately what we found is it's abysmal. Less than half of licensed hunters in all of the states that we took a look at are actually going out to vote on a regular basis.
Wow, that is just shameful. But you guys are doing something about that. It's called Hunt the Vote, and I love your website. You make it really easy for folks to find out where they're going to vote, how to register to vote, everything they need to cast an educated vote this November at your website. When people go to Hunt the Vote, what is there for them?
We have created a one-stop resource and one-stop shop for hunters across the country to go and figure out, as you said, how to get registered to vote, how to figure out who's running in every one of the elections they're going to be voting in, where these folks stand on the issues that impact our hunting and outdoor traditions, and how they can get out there and make sure that their voices are heard, and not just this upcoming fall's election, but every election moving forward. Our whole goal is, again, if we get out there and we activate as one united hunter nation,
to protect our lifestyle. We don't ever want to go back to that place where we have less than half of us who are actually going out and voting on a regular basis.
Yeah, I know in my lifetime I've never seen an election this important. And the last 4 years ago, I said then, I've never seen an election this important. And 4 years before that, I said the same thing. They just keep ramping up and ramping up and ramping up because our lifestyle, our conservative lifestyle, our hunting, fishing, shooting rights, our Second Amendment under attack, and we're seeing that more and more and more. Why is that, Luke?
Well, there is an organized, well-funded effort that's out there every day. Hundreds of groups with acronyms from, you basically name any animal rights group that's out there, and they put taking away hunting as one of their top priorities. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars being spent against our opportunity to get to the outdoors with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. And, you know, that's a real threat. And so, again, if we sit these elections out, we don't make ourselves a viable demographic when it comes to our politicians having to pay attention to us and make sure that they get us in the room when they're talking about the policies that impact the outdoor lifestyle we all love to live. We're in a lot of trouble.
Yep, in a world of hurt. And next time you have an opportunity to vote, it may be too late. So, polls. You have a lot of history and a lot of study and a lot of work in polls and elections, that sort of thing. Help us understand this a little bit more. Over the past few weeks, Joe Biden has been beating President Trump handily in polls. I don't want people to see that and then get dejected and say, hey, my vote doesn't count. I'm sitting this out. Talk to us about those polls.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the most often things we hear from hunters across the country as we are out on the road doing these hunt to vote events. Why aren't you voting? Well, I'm just one person. What does my one voice matter? And my whole point to them is, look, if you're that one person that could make a marginal difference towards whether or not our traditions and our lifestyle is protected by getting the right people in office, not just in Washington, but at the local level as well, then your voice really matters. And if it's one person that sits it out, it's another person that sits it out, here we go down that backward slide where we got half of America's hunters sitting it out. You take a look at polls across the board, and I'm a student of this. I've worked in politics and grassroots and government pretty much my entire professional career. And I don't put a lot of stock in polls that aren't out there really talking to the folks who are registered and likely voters. I think what you're seeing right now is a tide of people that are out there, and they're not really going to tell anybody on the phone that, hey, yeah, I stand with the president, or, hey, I believe in what Donald Trump is doing. And I think that's a fear factor that's out there right now. But what we're seeing is there's a strong undercurrent of the silent majority out there who can be the difference makers if they go out, educate themselves, get registered to vote, and make sure they get out there and vote before they head to the tree stand this fall.
Absolutely. It's our duty. It's our duty to our country, first and foremost. And if you love this precious heritage that we pass down generation to generation, hunting, fishing, the freedom to enjoy a day at the range, for goodness sakes, go get registered and go vote and let it all start at Hunt the Vote, because it's elementary, Luke, the way you guys put it together. It's really simple to use your website and navigate through and become a registered voter and learn even where you're going to go vote.
Amen. And it's a resource, a one-stop shop where you can go there, educate yourself, get registered to vote, request an absentee ballot if you so choose, and get out there and make sure that you vote your values. We cannot afford, as sportsmen and women across this country, to sit out these elections, because they have proven that if we sit out and we're silent about things, they are coming for all of our rights without any hesitation.
Absolutely. HuntTheVote.org is the website. And if you'll come see me at KinderOutdoors.com, Kinder like kindergarten, K-I-N-D-E-R, KinderOutdoors.com, there's a quick and easy link for you to visit Hunt the Vote and get it all taken care of. Let me just leave you with this one last thought, Luke, before we go our separate ways today. TCU 21, Wisconsin 19, just in case you had forgotten that.
Just got to rub that salt in the wound, don't you, Billy?
Well, you know, we only go to one Rose Bowl in a lifetime. You guys go there all the time, so I have to ride that pony. Luke, a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you so much for the work you're doing on my behalf and for all of us as outdoors men and women. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Billy. God bless you, and take care.
Our warm campfire is always the gathering spot, no matter the weather. Tall tales and life's tough spots get worked out here. This is Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
More and more Americans want to know how to harvest wild game and fish for the family table. DSC is a tremendous starting spot for that wonderful journey. Come see us at biggame.org.
Hey, you boys, get back in here off that porch. We have more chores to do in this old camp house today at Kender Outdoors. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate that. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. I have fed Purina Pro Plan to my hardworking bird dogs and my lovable lap dogs for, well, since the very first bag of Pro Plan was ever made. That's how much I think of it. Years later, they joined me here on the radio show, and I'm a proud partner. Pick up the Pro Plan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, coming up just a little later this hour, Mark Oliva is going to join us from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. We're talking about the election. We're talking about gun vote. We're talking about your precious right to own a gun to defend yourself or enjoy it at the range or out at the deer lease or on a squirrel hunt, whatever. Bottom line, we're talking about your freedoms and liberties. Here's a guy that wants you to have your freedoms and liberties. It's Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy. He joined the Governor's Sportsman's Caucus to protect and advance sporting traditions in the last great frontier there in Alaska. He did it last week. He became the newest member of the Governor's Sportsman's Caucus. Governor Dunleavy is the 28th member of the GSC, which is a bipartisan group of governors from across the country dedicated to protecting and advancing hunting, angling, recreational shooting, and trapping. Good move, Alaska. You know, you might want to think about loading up the bird dogs and taking a trip to Minnesota this year. They say the ruffed grouse numbers are pretty good, about like last year. They visit those leks where the grouse perform their ritualistic dance, courting a mate, and they do it in the same lek, the same spot, year after year. They make that very unique drumming sound. And dance peacock proud, showing off for the girls. I remember a crisp morning in Montana. Robin and I had just pulled through the ranch gate, and we were driving east into the sun. I could see something in the road up there, got closer, and it was a mess of sharp-tail grouse. And they were doing just that. Their lek happened to be right there in the seldom-used ranch road. We sat and watched them for 15 or 20 minutes, I guess, and it was a unique treat, and we knew it at the time. But now, there in Minnesota, you're going to be hunting ruffed grouse. They call them the king of the game birds because it's such a challenge to pursue them, a thrill to witness them on the wing, and delicious on the table. Delicious. Native to Minnesota, the top ruffed grouse-producing state in the U.S. And millions of acres of public land for hunters and their dogs. Do your homework. Check it out. Now, down in Louisiana this time of year, they're thinking about squirrels. You give a Louisiana gal or guy a mess of squirrels, and they'll give you a world-class meal. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is holding a squirrel hunting seminar for beginners. It'll be in Baton Rouge on September 17th. Squirrel Hunting 101 at the Waddell Wildlife Refuge, Baton Rouge, 8 a.m. until noon. They'll cover what equipment is needed, firearm selection, rules, regulations, outdoor navigation, and hunting opportunities in Louisiana. Hey, in the state of Washington, the Department of Fish and Wildlife Director, Kelly Susswind, has authorized the incremental removal of wolves from the Lead Point Pack in northwest Washington. This wolf pack is responsible for 11 livestock depredations since June 19, 2 months. Shooting these wolves is a last choice and means that they have exhausted all other methods. Well, would you look at that? My son Troy proved that you can catch a bass, not a big one, but you can catch a bass in 105 degree weather. He's on the bragging board at kinderoutdoors.com. He needs to button that shirt up, is what he needs to do. The folks that work at Purina Pro Plan are dog people. They have big dogs, little dogs, active dogs, couch potatoes, old dogs, puppies, teenagers. And they know that different dogs require different formulas of feed. Pick out the Pro Plan formula best for your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. And a couple of exceptionally cool pictures on the bragging board this week from New Mexico. David Lopez is on the bragging board with his granddaughter, Myla, and her friend, Bayo. They were fishing Cole's Pond near Pecos, New Mexico. And then there's that second picture of David Lopez, the grandfather, when he was the grandson, posing up with his old fishing partner back in 1975, his granddad, Antonio Lopez. Cool pictures, and they're on the bragging board at KinderOutdoors.com. South Carolina is going to have a couple of fishing clinics. The first one on August 26th, 5 until 6:30 p.m., and it's virtual, and it's about saltwater fishing. Then the next day, 5 until 6:30 p.m., August 27th, next Saturday, it's a virtual freshwater family fishing clinic. I've got the link and more info on both. If you're a beginner fisherman and would like to learn more about salt or freshwater fishing, tune in next Friday and Saturday. You can visit me at KinderOutdoors.com right now and get the lowdown on the who, what, where, when, and why. Dove season just days away for most of us. And if you have a youngster or a lady in the house that's not done much shooting but would like to, they're kind of scared of that shotgun though, you need to know about the Aguila Mini Shell. Aguila was the original maker of the Mini. It's not as loud and it doesn't kick. We'll talk about it when we come back from the coffee pot.
This is Michael Waddell. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
We are planning for great crowds and a great time at the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections, February 11th through the 14th, and we'll certainly hope that you're planning to be a part of it as well. Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, and I can assure you that as we make plans to get together again in February, we're also planning to do it safely. Whatever is required to make your visit comfortable, enjoyable, and above all safe, we will do. This is the place where the finest guides and outfitters globally come together to display their opportunities to the hunting and fishing public, and they'll be hungry to do business. You'll also see the finest collections of firearms, art, jewelry, hunting gear, and clothing anywhere. We will have wonderful banquets, live and silent auctions featuring one-of-a-kind collectibles, opportunities and gear, and a family-friendly celebration of our hunting heritage. To learn more, visit biggame.org. And I'll see you in February.
Did you know Trijicon has just introduced an expansion of their hunting rifle scope lines? Whether you are hunting whitetail or western big game, one of the more than 80 new Trijicon rifle scopes is right for your next hunt. These are all in addition to the brilliant aiming solutions Trijicon is known for, like the ACOG, RMR, MRO, and thermal night vision optics. Check out all the brilliant aiming solutions at Trijicon.com.
Join the fastest growing shooting sports and outdoor community on the planet. Become an Everest Caliber member today and receive free express shipping on Caliber eligible products, thousands of hours of entertainment, early bird notices on sales and closeouts, partner discounts, give back to conservation, and amazing Everest and partner swag. Join the Everest community today. Buy 1 year, get a second year free. Use code CALIBER2020. Gear up today at Everest.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, Outstanding cuisine. World-class wing shooting. The best free-range access deer hunting in the world. My favorite, by the way. Plus native whitetails and turkey. And some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence. And I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com.
In God we trust. That fishin' story you just told? Not so much. Come on, it's camp house time at Kinder Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
The dedication of DSC members is seen when a teen and his mom shoot targets together for the first time, when a poacher takes aim but handcuffs block his shot, and when a senator or congressman vote yes to preserve your Second Amendment. That's the DSC at work. We don't tire. And we don't quit. BigGame.org.
Every year, the Dallas Safari Club gets together and celebrates the kickoff of the hunting seasons with a DSC dove hunt. They're doing that again this year, September 4th and 5th, just a couple of weeks away. And once again, this will be out in wonderful West Texas near Abilene at the Haley Ranch. And get this, it's not only a member hunt, this is for non-members as well. If you'd like to participate, it is a lot of fun. You're going to make a ton of new friends, and you're likely going to see a lot of birds. We'll get into that more in just a minute. You'll hunt on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. Your hunt fee also includes meals, live entertainment Friday night, dove cleaning, non-alcoholic beverages. See, you can tell it's a good time. Space is limited, so if this is something you want to do, you're going to be in Texas opening weekend of dove season, come see me at kinderoutdoors.com. We've got the link on there. Click on that thing and enjoy the Dallas Safari Club annual dove hunt on the Haley Ranch out near Abilene, Texas. Now, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department couldn't do their annual survey this year, their counts. COVID got in the way of that, but things are looking really good. Listen to these numbers. Texas has a breeding population of about 25 million mourning doves and up to 15 million white-winged doves. Above-average rainfall statewide throughout the spring season led to prime habitat conditions during the peak nesting months, which means food, bugs, and cover to get those chicks raised. And the biologists are thinking this might be a pretty darn good dove season. So jump in on the fun at the Haley Ranch with the DSC. Hey, let's talk about shotgun shells for a minute. I've been a big fan of the Agula Mini shotgun shell since I first heard about them a few years back. And they have been so popular that other makers are starting to come out with minis now. The mini shell, not nearly as much kick, not nearly as much noise, and the absolute hands-down perfect way for that new shotgunner to get in a groove, figure out their mechanics, get into shotgunning without anticipating that loud bang or jolt. Great for kids and ladies who don't appreciate that big shell that maybe you do. Cody Wood works for Agula, and I caught up with him in Wichita, Kansas last year. We sat down and visited a few minutes, and I turned on the tape recorder.
Cody, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Bill. It's good to be here.
You know what? Ever since I had you on a few weeks ago, the women have been calling saying, please get Cody back on the air. It's a big hit with women.
Oh, that's good. No.
Pulling your leg. Yeah. Not that you're not a big hit with women, Cody. I'm just, no. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the mini shell because women love to listen to the show. They want to learn, you know, hey, what's my husband, what's my boyfriend doing at the range? How does that all work? Is that shotgun going to bruise me so bad I can't get up and go about my day tomorrow? Not with the Agula mini shell. You guys came up with this, I thought, 3 or 4 years ago, but no.
Yeah, so actually it's something we came up with about 20 years ago, and it's something that we've really been pushing marketing-wise for the last 4 to 5 years.
That's why I thought it was so new. You just started letting the word out on this thing in a big way a few years ago. The mini shell. Let's tell folks what we're talking about. Picture, folks, in your mind, a typical shotgun shell, 2 3/4 inches, 3 inches, whatever.
Right. So generally we're dealing with a 12-gauge. We actually have had requests for a 20-gauge. However, we're not there yet.
Okay.
We've been basically reduced it about an inch. So this is where you're going to have a reduced recoil, but you're still going to be able to achieve the same type of velocity that you would still get out of your normal full-size 12-gauge.
Yeah. It amazes me the ability to still break clays at about the same rate I do with a full-size shell with these things.
That's right. So the only thing that we've actually changed is reduced the recoil. So what that means is we reduce pressure inside the cartridges. And so by doing that, you actually have a lot less recoil. So this was really designed for women and children to get into shot shell shooting and actually get into the shooting sports industry.
You mentioned recoil. The two big benefits of this, there's no better way to start a kid shotgunning or for ladies to enjoy a day of quail hunting, dove hunting, or out on the sporting clays range than these mini shells. Recoil, that's a big deal. Your gun is not going to knock you backwards. And sound, it really brings the decibels down.
Right, and so the biggest thing most people are scared of is when they hear that bang in the middle of their hands. And, you know, most people will flinch, but
yep.
When you have a little bit more reduced powder in there, and basically that way it affects the pressure, so then you have no recoil, so you're not going to get bruised when it actually kicks. There's going to be no kick. It's going to feel more like a push,
yeah.
And that's where, like, we have, like, the Mossberg Shockwave 590, where we can actually shoot that almost one-handed. I wouldn't recommend it, and so that's something I still use two hands, but it's something where most women, when they shoot it, they're surprised at the way it feels. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't scare them. They're like, oh, that's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. These are shorter shells, as Cody was saying a few moments ago. They don't pack the power of the bigger shells, the big bang. Therefore, they're probably not going to cycle your semi-auto shotgun the way a bigger full-size shell would. These work best in breakover guns or single action.
Right. And so that's where we're actually compiling a list of the semi-automatic shotguns that it do work with. So obviously, like the Mossberg 590, if you have the Opsol insert, definitely works really great with that insert in there. We've have heard people tell us that even without the insert, it functions. We haven't tried that currently, but we're working on a composite list of actually all the different shotguns that it will function with.
Okay, very good. And all of that available at your website, I'm sure.
Right.
The Aguila, you're looking for the Aguila mini shell. Has there ever been a shortage on these things? Because for a long time, you were the only ones making them. Then some other people saw how well you were doing with them and started copycatting a little bit. There's been a big push for these over the past few years since you let the word out.
That's right. And so we did actually max out our capacity, which actually went back and added more capacity to our factory.
Good.
So we could actually increase production and really get the market, because we kind of like to look at it, we perfected the mini shell.
Yeah.
So even though there's others on the market, we're the ones that originated it 20-something years ago,
yeah.
And we've been developing it further and further over the years.
You have to, through those years, you have to have heard stories, gotten emails and letters from people, phone calls from folks saying, oh my gosh, you've made it fun for me to go shoot.
We have, and there's a lot of people who, they got interested into the sport, and it's something we're actually partnering with the NSFF right now in Houston to actually develop more brand-new shooters getting into the sport, and so obviously our mini shell is going to be a big hit with new shooters.
Yeah, it sure is. You're looking for the Aguila Mini, and it's available online and just about everywhere.
That's right. You can find it in stores like Academy and definitely your local dealers, of course.
All right. Hey, good to see you, man.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Cody Wood from Aguila Ammunition talking about the mini shell. Hey, this corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. There's a Pro Plan formula for your dog, even if they have an intolerance to grain, an itchy coat, or maybe they're older and could benefit from added glucosamine in their diet. There's a Pro Plan formula for your dog. And it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, and Missouri. Women are more interested in owning a shotgun now than ever. The numbers prove that out, and that's not because they're just going dove hunting or taking up a career as a wing shooter. Home protection has been primary. There's data from a Gallup poll out now that shows that gun control has slid further down America's list of most important issues. And a deeper dive into the NICS data, those background checks, when people buy a new gun, suggests that new gun owners and the need for self-defense are driving this 2020 surge. We're going to talk more about it with Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation coming up shortly. We're sick of this trash we're seeing on television, and those of us that still love this country and are patriots are arming ourselves. That conversation with Mark Oliva is coming up shortly, but first, it's a trip to Africa with the Southern Africa Wildlife College. Interesting stuff after I get back from the coffee pot.
Hi, I'm Richard Cheatham, Executive Director of the DSC Foundation. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Coming soon to DSC's Kinder Outdoors, along with our partners at Dillon Hunting Blinds and Cinnamon Creek Ranch, we're going to put you in your brand new 6x6 octagon bow and rifle blind, sitting on a 5-foot tower with porch and staircase. Then it's off to Cinnamon Creek Archery for a $2,000 shopping spree to deck your blind with bows and arrows. We'll award a winner just in time for Christmas. Details coming soon on Kinder Outdoors. Buffalo Wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called Buffalo Wool because the very special fibers used in Buffalo Wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30s, Jason Muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. We wear them out, we'll replace them.
The BuffaloWoolCo.com.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and North Fork Rivers at North Fork Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at North Fork Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. North Fork Resort Trout Dock in North Fork, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Kinder Outdoors.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
A couple of years ago at the DSC Convention and Expo, Ivan Carter and I were visiting. You've probably seen Ivan on his many television productions through the years or heard of him through his great conservation work in his native Africa. And he was telling me about the work that Teresa Sowery and others were doing at the Southern African Wildlife College. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. Who would have ever thought of a wildlife college in the heart of the poaching capital of the world to battle poachers and promote wildlife?
You guys are going to love hearing from Teresa today. I've asked Ivan Carter to join us as well. Teresa, the Southern African Wildlife College. That sounds like something I would have really gotten into back when I was about 17, 18 years old.
Billy, it's a wonderful place. It's based in South Africa, but it services the whole of Southern Africa and beyond, up to 24 different African countries. Students are elected by their organizations to come to us to get skills development for conservation training. So anything from field ranger training, anti-poaching, wildlife area management, professional hunting and guiding. We really do have a focus on strong, ethical, sustainable professional hunting because it's important that message goes out into the industry.
Yeah, and I was making a funny there when I said 17 or 18 years old. I was referring to my old college days when I went to college. I'm sure you have students and participants of all ages that want to learn more about what you're specializing in.
Billy, you don't look a day older than 17.
Thank you so much, Teresa. You know, when I first met you, I could tell you had a very high IQ, and that just confirms that. No, don't you have students of all ages and backgrounds?
Absolutely. We do have school leaver courses, but mostly we focus on students that are already employed. Sometimes our students are anything up to 45, 50 years old, really trying to say, how do we find out what skill is needed? Because skills change all the time. How do you adapt to the industry? How do you address your training needs? And we work with organizations that highlight individuals, spotlight them, and say, great, this person with this additional skill could possibly lead to our conservation organization in the next few years. So students roughly the age from 25 to, I would say, 45 is our target.
Wow. And how long have you guys been around now? You're relatively new.
We were established in 1997.
Wow.
We have trained over 14,500 Africans in a variety of conservation training.
Yeah.
And from over 24 different African countries.
When someone leaves your college, where do they typically go? What do they do?
Well, most of them are already employed, so they go back to their workplaces. But we're talking about Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife, Sand Parks within South Africa, Mozambique, Malawi, Botswana, Namibia, Zimbabwe. Most students that are running the reserves that the hunters are going to hunt, our students are managing them.
Yeah. Ivan, this sounds like incredibly important work that Teresa and her cohorts are doing at the college.
You know, it's unbelievable, Billy. Up till now, there just hasn't
hasn't been a college like that, and to see a bona fide college with a very, very well-organized campus, incredible training facilities and trainers, the transfer of skills, as I call it, that goes on that patch of Africa, truly is leading the charge in conservation initiatives. It's a great way to make sure that, you know, people from all over Africa are getting the very best training that they need to be effective in the field. It's unbelievable, Billy. I can't even say enough about them. They do a fantastic job.
Let's give an example here. Poaching, a hideous and huge problem in Africa, everywhere, but especially in Africa right now. We hear the horror stories. What is your school doing to prepare folks to fight poaching?
Very good question, Billy, and something we're extremely proud of. Because we are actually based just on the, essentially inside the Kruger National Park. We're on the border for the Kruger Park. Some of that hideous poaching is taking place on our training area. So we have learning by doing programs. How can our students not only learn the theory, but be part of the practical application to minimize and learn the skills to address the poaching? And we've come up with what we call a four-tiered approach. First of all, boots on the ground. Those field rangers in anti-poaching need to have skills that are much broader than what they used to be. So night surveillance and advanced anti-poaching, clandestine, these are all different training that is now taking place there. Weapon, you know, how to use your weapons at night, put them together, take them apart. So it's hugely important. You need that skill. Secondly, you need planes in the air. Planes need to be, or any sort of aerial platform. You need to know where your species are in order to put your rangers where they are actually needed on the ground. Because if your rangers are in the wrong places, they're never going to find those poachers.
Yeah.
Thirdly, even if you detect where the poachers are, how do you catch them in the quickest possible time? And that's where we now have a fully fledged dog unit. So we train our field rangers to be dog handlers, and that really just allows you to it's essentially the value added and the silver bullet, because with a dog, a person can be tracked down so much quicker.
Yeah.
And number four, and this is something that we all forget about and we really need to spend a lot of time on, it is, where are the benefits going? The benefits need to go to the communities. So in a really well rounded anti-poaching program, benefits have to flow to the communities. Those communities are going to take those animals illegally or legally. Let's try and get them to protect them legally, for those animals to be worth more to the community alive than dead, so that they're part of the solution and not the problem. And if we all focus on community benefits, job creation, that sustainable benefits go from the hunting, from every hunt back to the community, hunting will get a good name, communities will benefit, and your anti-poaching will definitely be more successful.
Teresa, never stop preaching that message. That's wonderful. I'm sure corporate support is huge. You need that to exist, I would think.
Absolutely.
Who helps you out?
Definitely Dallas Safari Club and Dallas Good. Safari Club Foundation. They are our biggest donors from America, and I cannot thank them enough. Honestly, yeah. Without their support, some of our programs simply would not exist.
You know, Billy, it's also important to understand this university is donor-funded from top to bottom. There's not just corporate sponsorship, but individual donors. And, you know, there's two ways to raise $1 million. That's find somebody who's going to write that check, which is a significant issue. Or it's to find 1 million people that'll each send $1 to the front line. And really, training people is the very best and most effective weapon we've got against poaching these days.
For folks that are interested, they hate poachers, they understand it on their own local ranches here in the United States, when people come onto their property and steal from them by stealing their wildlife. So people understand poaching. It's very, very personal. If they wanted to donate, they wanted to give, is there a specific area, is there one specific thing they can do, they can give to and help you guys out to help stop the poaching?
Well, Billy, education is the key, and I think we really need to invest in educating our communities, educating our field rangers to be able to competently address poaching in a better way, and educating the public. So, yes, donate to education. Our Wildlife College website is www.wildlifecollege.org, and, yeah, support the cause. It'll be
very
great.
Good. Give us that website one more time.
www.wildlifecollege.org.
Very good, very good. Ivan, what a great effort this is.
You know, Billy, when you look at the millions of solutions that everybody's talking out there, the anti-poaching teams, the drones, all of these things, it all comes down to one thing. Education is absolutely the most powerful weapon we can possibly employ against this poaching epidemic that's sweeping Africa, and the Southern African Wildlife College is the spot that I put a lot of faith in to do that into the future.
Ivan Carter, my friend Ivan, along with Teresa Sowery, talking about the Southern Africa Wildlife College. I'd love to visit that campus someday and get my eyes and ears on what they're doing there. Hey, we've got a new contest coming to DSC's Kinder Outdoors, and it is a doozy to say thank you so much for tuning in, listening to the show, and how we greatly appreciate you. We're giving away a Dillon Manufacturing hunting blind valued at over $4,000 plus a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Wild Game Processing and Archery Complex. Bows, arrows, blinds. That blind sits on a 5-foot tower with a porch. You can't register yet, but you will be able to soon. I'm just letting you know to let your buddies know, let everybody know that there's a prize package worth over $6,000 coming your way soon from DSC's Kinder Outdoors.
Hi, this is Bobby Labonte, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Shockey, and for years I've hunted in some of the toughest conditions on earth. That's why I count on Hornady Outfitter Ammunition. From the back country to the back 40, you can trust Outfitter Ammunition. Featuring corrosion-resistant nickel-plated cases that are sealed watertight and topped with the accurate and rugged GMX bullet, Outfitter Ammunition is designed to perform under the toughest conditions. Outfitter Ammunition from Hornady.
Did you know Trijicon has just introduced an expansion of their hunting rifle scope lines? Whether you are hunting whitetail or western big game, one of the more than 80 new Trijicon rifle scopes is right for your next hunt. These are all in addition to the brilliant aiming solutions Trijicon is known for, like the ACOG, RMR, MRO, and thermal night vision optics. Check out all the brilliant aiming solutions at Trijicon.com.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner, together creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled, but we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids, and in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics and they smile while learning. If you want outdoor adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
You don't have to have four-wheel drive to get to this camp house. The helicopter will do the trick. This is Kinder Outdoors, driven by the Dallas Safari Club.
More and more Americans want to know how to harvest wild game and fish for the family table. DSC is a tremendous starting spot for that wonderful journey. Come see us at biggame.org.
Americans are voting at the gun store in a big, big way in 2020. I want to talk to Mark Oliva with the National Shooting Sports Foundation about these tremendous gun sales and about the upcoming election. Mark, welcome back. It's always good to have you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having us on.
National Shooting Sports Month, and I know you guys at the National Shooting Sports Foundation are the backbone behind this. How are things looking? How are things going? A lot of participation?
We've seen an incredible amount of participation. So everyone's seeing that their local retailers are pretty bare shelves these days, and that's because people are buying guns at record levels. We saw the strongest month ever on record in March at 2.3 million background checks conducted for the sale of a firearm. And that pace has kept pretty steady at about 1.6 to 1.8 million every month since. So we are seeing record numbers. So far this year, we've had 12.1 million background checks conducted for the sale of a firearm. Our best year on record was 2016 at 15 million. So we are well on pace to exceed that this year.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, every month records keep falling, and we see all of these new gun owners coming into the field, into play. I hope all of them have a voter registration card and all of them love and respect our Second Amendment, Mark.
Yeah, and we've been really reaching out to a lot of these, to our retailers, to our distributors, to our manufacturers with our gun vote program to make sure that all these people who are buying guns understand what's at stake when it comes to the ballot box and learn how to get registered to vote and learn where to vote. And they have the information they need when it comes time for that vote and what that vote's going to mean to their right to keep and bear arms.
You bet. Gun vote. If you'll come see me at kinderoutdoors.com, we've got a link right there, very visible for you, where you can click on. And when they click on gun vote, what are they going to find there? What are they going to see? Because it's really navigable. It's easy. And there's a lot of information there.
Yeah, really simple. It is a voter education outreach. So what we try to do with this is make sure that people understand what the requirements are to register to vote, where they live, where the polling places are, where they need to go vote. And if they get onto our social media pages through GunVote, they can see kind of where the candidates stand on their issues, especially when it comes to this presidential election. There's a pretty stark difference as to what the choices are and what it's going to mean to their right to keep and bear arms.
Mark, I don't know that we've ever seen a more stark difference between the two parties. President Trump has been loyal to our Second Amendment. He's been vocal about our Second Amendment. I've been really happy with that. He realizes that that is one of the pillars that has held this nation up from the get-go, and how important it was for our founding fathers to include that. But Joe Biden sees it differently. He's got a gun czar from out in West Texas somewhere that says, "Hey, I'm going to take your guns. You darn right I am." And now he adds Kamala Harris to the mix. She does absolutely not want us to have our freedoms and our guns. This is a scary, scary ticket.
It really is. There's a lot that's at stake at this. So you've had former Vice President Biden, if we kind of go back in some of the history, what he said about guns going back to the last administration when he was serving as vice president, and he blindly said that, you know, his wife, if she was ever threatened, that she should just go outside and blindly fire two blasts of a shotgun into the air without knowing what her target is or what the threat is. Which of course would violate any kind of safety rule that we all, you know, preach. And beyond that, in this campaign, he stood on the debate stage and literally called the firearm industry the enemy. So he's telling me I'm the enemy. He's telling anybody who makes a gun that they're the enemy of America. And that's part of our Constitution. We are a constitutionally protected industry. We provide the means for people to be able to exercise their rights. Campaign stop and he was, you know, cursing out a union worker who had questions about his commitment to upholding the Second Amendment. So it kind of tells you the disrespect that we see from this candidacy. when it comes to protecting our rights.
Yeah, Kamala Harris also has a track record, and she's been very vocal about her hatred of my Second Amendment.
Yeah, she's, you know, I think what she wants to bring to the rest of America is the type of gun control that you see in California. She's embraced the idea of forcible confiscation of firearms at the point of law enforcement going out and collecting those. She has embraced national registries. She's embraced the repeal of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which would expose the industry to harassing lawsuits that are designed to do nothing but bankrupt the industry. And they're coming after the industry for people's commitment of crimes, the individual's commitment of crimes, and they're going to try and lay that blame on the manufacturer. Billy, that's akin to trying to hold Ford accountable for the crime of a DUI that may have caused somebody's death. That is a commitment of a crime by an individual if they're laying on a corporation or a manufacturer, which is entirely legally unsound.
It's the guy that's overweight and has a heart attack, blaming that on the people that make the donuts.
Exactly.
Yeah, no good. It doesn't make sense at all. Mark, what happened in St. Louis with the couple defending their property, stepping out front, never pulled the trigger, stepped out front of their in front of their home. There was a threat that had, from my understanding, already busted through the gate and was approaching their property and threatening them. They defended their home with our Second Amendment legally. And then what we saw transpire after that with local politicians actually threatening these folks, that was eye-opening.
Yeah, what you're seeing is the politicization of the exercise of your rights. So you've got politically minded prosecutors that are out there in these cities and in these counties that are trying to weaponize you exercising your rights against you. So that it becomes very concerning when people are trying to when people exercise their rights legally to protect themselves and their families, and now you're being turned around and you're going to be prosecuted for doing that. Now, when I talked a little bit earlier about all these people that are buying guns these days, Bill, we went through and we did a survey of our retailers. We found that just between March and May, 2.5 million people bought a gun for the very first time. Bill, these were people that were sitting on the fence. They were not involved in the gun ownership debate. It was something that was theoretical to them. It was rhetorical. They could argue that all day long, but they had no skin in the game. Well, those people are now gun owners. They have skin in the game now. They understand that this is now an existential threat to them, that their lives could be possibly in danger. So they went out and bought a firearm to be able to protect themselves and their families. So now we're talking about these 2.5 million plus gun owners that are out there, and now they're being faced with this possibility that if they had to choose to protect themselves and had to make that awful decision to be able to use a firearm to protect their family, that they may have to face prison time for that. And that's unheard of. I mean, we're seeing something that is very scary and is very threatening to our the fabric of our society.
Beto O'Rourke, he's from Texas. I don't like that at all. But I guess everybody's got to be from somewhere. Says that you're darn right. We're going to come get your ARs. We're going to confiscate guns. They're just in the open plain sight saying these things. We need to get registered to vote if we're not registered as gun owners, as hunters, and then show up at the polls. November 3rd, I believe it is. Show up and cast your vote. Know who you're voting for. Don't just blindly punch a ticket. Know who you're voting for. Gun vote can help us with that too.
Absolutely. We encourage everybody. And you're absolutely right. Robert Francis O'Rourke from Texas, a state that has been, you know, on the right side of owning firearms and responsible firearms ownership all along. The governor has been very supportive, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, everyone in that state has been very supportive. And then you've got someone like Robert Francis O'Rourke who wants to go out there and tell people that they exercising their rights to own a semi-automatic firearm that he happens to think just looks scary, but is no more powerful or no less powerful than any other firearm that's in possession today. And he wants to forcibly confiscate that, using law enforcement to do that. This is a recipe for disaster. It is something that everyone needs to be aware of what's happening, that our rights are being turned on their head by people who politically disfavor who we are and what we stand for.
Mark Oliva with the NSSF. All out of time. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together and invite you back next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch. Oh,